Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. The show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org. So if you go to mobiusstrippress.com and reclaimingtherepublic.org, you can get a lot of content, a lot of it free content. As a matter of fact, I provide all sorts of presentations. If you don't have what you need, my contact information is there. So just reach out with an email or hit me up on Facebook and I will do everything I can to get you the content other than a free book and so forth. I mean, every penny, by the way, so every penny, I was talking today to a couple of people at a business and a person, I was signing a book today. And so I let these people know that every penny that gets spent on my books or sponsorships and so forth. As a matter of fact, I had a local proprietor poke me in the eye and says, look, I mean, you're asking me to pay you, you know, to make money. And I said, look, I don't make a penny off of this. Everything that I make goes into this effort. And he goes, well, I mean, if you get to a point where you're making money, and I said, the whole point is has nothing to do with compensation. I mean, it's just the same as George Washington. George Washington didn't take a salary. As a matter of fact, he charged all of his expenses to the government for fighting the Revolutionary War, president, and so forth. And so I will say this, that personally, I wish that I could charge my expenses to somebody, but there's nobody out there that has wanted to bankroll all my expenses, gas, and so forth. So like when I travel someplace to do speaking, unless I'm actually getting paid with a honorarium or something like that, then there's no money. And then the money that I do make that is actually above and beyond my costs and everything else, that actually, again, goes back into the effort. So I haven't taken a penny, haven't taken a red dime. As a matter of fact, kind of in the hole on this. So anyway, I get a little bit wound up when somebody accuses me of trying to make money or taking money. And I've not been in that position from the sale of my books, speaking, or anything like that. So let me move on. If you want to call, the lines are open. It is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Not sure if you were able to capture last week, either by podcast or actually you listened. I did get some comments. And before I forget, let me get through these three C's. If you do want to call in, please be advised. I have a 3C rule. Be confidential if you know me by name. I go by GR. Be civil and be concise. And so with that, I did get some feedback. I don't think I have this in the queue at all to talk about, but I did get some feedback regarding the auditing process, regarding Republic Review and so forth. And one of those, I actually thought that John Chambers sent me a note. I thought he would be calling in on Friday, but I guess he was otherwise engaged, even though I spoke to him the day before and I forgot to ask him if he was going to call in. Anyway, he pointed out that the 14th Amendment was another amendment that was questionably ratified. Now, so I believe the 14th Amendment, every single amendment, my whole assertion is that every single amendment should be verified, that it was ratified. I think the Bill of Rights was pretty much a slam dunk, and history kind of writes that as such, and I think probably the 11th and 12th Amendment as well. But the 13th and beyond that, that's where you kind of have to go, well, how stringent and were they following the actual laws of each state and so forth? And on the 14th Amendment, though, there's a lot of people that don't like the 14th Amendment. I myself would like to see the 14th Amendment kind of clarified. There's lots of people that did not like the 14th Amendment applying the Bill of Rights. I would think that I would dare to think where we would be if the 14th Amendment did not, in aspects to the individual privileges and individual immunities only, did it apply the Bill of Rights and the Constitution to all states. So in other words, states are not allowed to pass a law that would infringe upon your right to bear arms, or infringe upon your right of religious expression, and so forth and so on. Now, every single one of those individual privileges and immunities has been sacred and guarded by the ACLU, progressives, and so forth, except for that Second Amendment one. As a matter of fact, how many states, cities, and so forth have been trying to pass laws that absolutely infringe upon your right in creating gun-free zones like Chicago and so forth? That is in violation of the 14th Amendment, Section 1. If you have the right of free speech because of the 14th Amendment, if you have the right of religious expression individually because of the 14th Amendment, then the 14th Amendment also gives you the right to bear arms. And so it is inseparable. You cannot just say we're going to cherry pick which individual immunity and or privilege that we want you to have. And so I digress. I just want you to know that I did get this comment from John. And bottom line, the 14th Amendment, when the states were coming back into the Union, they were forced. You want to call it coerced or what have you. They were forced to ratify the 14th Amendment. That was the preconditions for them coming back into the Union. Now, as far as I'm concerned, if you go to the Constitutional Convention and you understand, and I've said this before, it was August 22nd when Pinckney came up to the Virginia delegates and said, look, if you guys are going to force this slave issue and not allow us to maintain slavery, then Georgia and the Carolinas, we're leaving. We're out of here. And so they made a huge political calculation error in saying, okay, well, then we will, you know, acquiesce, or we'll, you know, give in to your demands. We'll basically placate you. And so that was a huge error. I think that the other states, the other 10 states, should have said, okay, well, good luck. You got Spain down there, and they're going to be rattling their sabers. I'm sure they might make a good ally, but they probably have their own intentions. And, you know, they're kind of a brutal crown. So be careful down there. And, oh, don't forget, Britain is, you know, loving to see, you know, this divide and conquer thing. So good luck with Britain, too, by the way. And France, well, they seem to be a friend, but actually they were, they had machinations and they had desires to basically take over or get a stronghold and basically bring the states in, because their intent was to basically put themselves at the top of the tier in world powers over England. I mean, there was always this animosity, maybe not directly, but it was directly during the American Revolution, remember? And during the Second Revolution, I call it, because actually the Revolution didn't end. We may have tried to sign some treaties and had some agreements, but Britain kept on harassing us, impressing our sailors. They were taking our commerce and ships and so forth. And so that was a constant point of contention every time we had emissaries meeting with them to discuss these issues. And Britain's primary contention, their only real contention that they had, other than the fact that we left their, you know, their crown ship, was that they wanted the property of the expatriates that we kicked out. Because the Tory Act of 1776, January 2nd, 1776, I'm coming up on a hard break. See what happens when I digress. Anyway, I'll get into the Tory Act and all of that when we come back after we have a few announcements and a word from our sponsor. Thank you so much. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem.
This is G.R. Mobley. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? And as you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental health and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after I moved here. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a patriot and a dentist that cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me. It's great to have a great dentist.
Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And as I was talking about the 1776 Tory Act, if you understand the fact that we kicked out the British loyalists, it goes in our DNA to say we do not stand for those who have any type of affinity towards a different ideology, a monarchy. We stood for liberty. If you look at who we're facing and the fact that communists have such a grip
and such a position within America today, I can't understand why we wouldn't, if we could get this country back on track and go down that path, basically institute a similar act of those who want to do do everything they can to undermine and to pervert our government and our Constitution. They should be sent packing, and under the same guise or same principles. You don't get to keep your property. You're an enemy of the state. You're an enemy of the Constitution. You're treasonous. Just be glad we're not hanging you. Because that was the position that the British, or I should say the colonists and the new framers, as they took over and created our new Constitutional Republic, that was their position. When they won the revolution, they got rid of the sympathizers, because they know that they need, you know, every kind of, you got to have everybody's heart and mind in moving forward. And we are definitely in a tight spot regarding ideologies, allowing the communist movement to actually have a monopoly and a control of the narrative in our education, our media, and everything else. I'll talk about it just in a few. I want to point out the importance of the presentation that I have on reclaimingtherepublic.org. Just the first 30 minutes, if you just watch the first 30 minutes of that academic argument, it's irrefutable. I've yet to have anybody tell me that, nope, that won't work. You can't do that. That is unconstitutional. I'll tell you, almost everything that the federal government is doing within these states is unconstitutional. And as you watch that video, you will learn that and understand that. So go to the Take Action page on reclaimingtherepublic.org, and that's where you'll find that video. And so I do want to invite anybody that has the desire to talk about religious freedom and whether the Constitution protects religious freedom, and in what context does that mean? I still see no signs of the federal government, looking out my window, I see no signs of the federal government reducing, disbanding, and get rid of its unconstitutional powers, roles, and responsibilities. So with that, I guess we need to forge on. I will say this. This is not a lifelong pursuit for me. I do have to understand that there are thresholds, there are barriers, that when you get to that point where you just, there is, barring an absolute miracle from the Lord, then, you know, you pretty much have to give up. But I do know that there's a lot of patriots, and there's enough patriots in the six states that I'm focusing on as I talk about my rodeos. I truly believe that we can get this started. I truly believe that there can be a dialogue in 2019 in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, North Dakota, or Kansas. One of these six states can initiate this dialogue in waking up that state and those state legislators and understanding what is before them and the opportunity they have in leading the restoration of our Constitutional Republic. That's a very powerful argument, especially if these men and women who are serving have the nobility and the honor and integrity to do, you know, such a thing, to go down in the annals of history of being like Madison, Hamilton, Rufus King, Williams, Monroe, Sherman, all of these great men that were a part of that framing of the Constitution. I will make a note regarding that, because this is for marketing, folks. Loretta Lynch is a little upset, and she's just seen that what the Justice Department is going through is so painful. The fact is, if you read what Jefferson said in the Kentucky Resolution, the federal government still only has three crimes that it has been delegated by the states to seek after. That is piracy, and that is treason, and that would be, help me out, the counterfeiting, the minting of money, counterfeiting. They have a few others that are, I think are kind of ambiguous, like high crimes on the high seas and that type of stuff. But those are literally the three crimes that can be committed here that would be something that they would have jurisdiction over. They don't have jurisdiction over most of the stuff that they're doing and enforcing, like the FBI and so forth. So the question I have, though, is as we go down this this laundry room search, how upset are you going to be if not one Clintonite and not one Obamanite or Obamian is prosecuted and sent to jail? I mean, are you going to be upset that it's just the status quo, that not one person's held accountable? I don't know. I would think that the marketing and everybody wanting to see justice and wanting to see our rule of law upheld, I think you'd be upset. But I don't know. We seem to just keep on taking those kicks in the chin and and those slaps in the face. It's just it's astonishing to understand what we're going through as a republic, and knowing what our DNA is, and that we're just continually taking it. We're, I don't know. Anyway, I've had a few engagements this past couple days, past week actually, regarding how much time we have. I've mentioned before that I typically try to ask this question when I'm talking to somebody: how much time do you think we have? And that actually came up. It's come up one specific with John Chambers on social media, and I had another engagement in a DM on social media. I've actually had a couple of different correspondences, people that I'm working with that are running for office, and I even came up when I was speaking last month at an event. And the analysis, I think that most people think that that clock is, you know, infinite. And I guess in one respect, it might have something to do with your religious ideology. I mean, a lot of people believe that we're in the last of times. Israel's a nation. There's, you know, it's getting ready to be onslaughted. Is that the beginning of the war in Israel, Armageddon, and all of that? And so depending on where you are religiously and recognizing the Christian revelations of the last days, I don't think most Christians would argue, but then again, I'm not surprised of you know what we can argue about and what we can disagree, because it just seems like there's no limit to what we can disagree about. But anyway, I will just say this in my analysis when I look at the big picture, because I have a classical training of intelligence analysis. And so when I look at the constant infiltration of illegals, which are, you know, slowly being ramped into in progressive cities and in progressive strongholds, they're being given identification and assistance by those who are trying to subvert our system, the social workers working to help them get fake IDs and getting past these heartbreaks and commercials, which I'm not going to be able to do. And so I'll have to get back into this analysis on where we are and where I believe, how much time I believe we have. And I'll let you weigh in on this, but we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic.
Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive of businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
By the way, for those who happen to call in during the break and then hang up, because of the way the mechanism of this the phone system that we have, I can't engage you. You're going to be basically placed in a queue until the commercials are over with because we don't really have a person manning the phones. It's really more of an application process. So that's why you kind of have to wait and hold on. So anyway, let me move on. I'm trying to give you the analysis in the big picture, because if you understand, the left has had a monopoly on the education system, and they've had a monopoly. As a matter of fact, Rockefeller in 91 thanked the media and the entertainment industry for supporting the globalist New World Order agenda. And actually he said that, I'm not quoting verbatim, but he refers to the New World Order and their globalist agenda. And he thanks them in a big, I think it was a Council of Foreign Relations meeting where all sorts of those types of people were at, and said that they would not have been able to move this country into this secularism and towards this globalist government without their help. And so there is a real intricate and elaborate effort that is being done in maintaining and controlling a narrative. And as a matter of fact, I don't know if you understand, but when something finally gets, you know, rising up to a point where all of a sudden it becomes a real prod or a real recognized danger, then the left will do whatever they have to do to silence and take it away. And not that, I forget those two gals, Silk and anyway, I'm terrible with names. I don't watch them, but I heard about them, and I heard Facebook took them off, and Twitter had basically removed their accounts, and that's because when they become a legitimate perceived threat to their agenda, they will do everything they can to silence that threat. And so, getting back to the analysis, if you understand the infiltration of illegals that are coming here, that have been coming here. I remember back in the beginning of the Obama administration, there was an estimated, they were thinking somewhere between 17 and 20 million illegal aliens have come in since Reagan's, you know, broad brush of amnesty. And so we don't know what the real number is other than the fact that it is overwhelming. And the fact is that there are so many strongholds that are violating the law because they're doing everything they can to give these people voters' ID, whether that be driver's license or automatic registrations and those types of things, whether you're a citizen or not, they don't care. They want you to vote because they know if you're here illegally and you shouldn't have that ability to vote, there's a higher likelihood that you're going to vote for their agenda because you want them to be giving you amnesty. They want you to basically give, they want the store. And as long as America is for sale, people are going to come here. I shouldn't even say for sale, for handout. People are going to continue to come here for that handout. That's why I have constantly said, we really don't have an immigration problem. We have an entitlement problem. We have a government that is giving away stuff that it has no constitutional power to do so. And so as I move on, we've got these refugees that are also coming in, adding to this. Last year was 53,000. This year it's going to be maybe 25,000. It's still too high of a number if you understand the people that they're bringing in. And if you understand the millions that have come in since the Obama and even the Bush administrations and the Clinton administrations, they've been bringing in I just can't say good people that want to assimilate and be and embrace. As a matter of fact, these majority of the people that they've been bringing in have not been advocates for individual liberty. These are the enemies of individual liberty. And you have to scratch your head. Why are they doing that? Because they know that they're probably have a higher propensity of giving government more controls and voting for a more fascist type of government, which would be the Progressive Democratic Party. More importantly, the youth coming out of school, and you can go look at the demographic studies of age and so forth, and you can actually check it off. If you look at how many kids like Hogg and all these other radical kids that are coming out of our school system, they can't wait. I said this before. They cannot wait to be able to be the change of throwing away our liberties. They want to see a communist government. And I'm just going, only in America will we actually celebrate that type of perversion will absolutely celebrate the giving away of our individual liberty and sovereignty and surrender the greatest government that was ever created. And there's just no doubt because the framers constantly
pointed to the divine hand of providence was the insightful factor in what they instilled and what they created. I mean, they actually credited him. If you read the first proclamation of thanksgiving by George Washington, they credit him, who basically inspired them and gave them the insights of creating a nation that had, you know, nobody could even dream of. Anyway, I'm not sure if you understand, you know, all of these factors coming in, but with old people dying off who happen to be voting the old crusty, if go to a conservative meeting, the one commonality is the hair's gray or there's very little hair. And that's because it's the conservatives that are, you know, in the upper age demographics. And that, and I'm telling you, we don't have a monopoly there, because there are a lot of communist old people as well. So how much longer do you think we have with all these kids coming out of school, all these illegals, refugees getting their hand in voting, and with government health care to increase the death of elderly because they're going to start withholding, and with the increase in honor killing, or if whatever you want to call it, assisted suicide, and or, you know, allowing you to just die because you can't get the care you want. They're just going to make you comfortable. And that's heart-wrenching, the fact that we're losing in that way, because it's almost like, I don't want to say we're giving up, but we have the ability to fight this, and we have a very short window, but we don't have a lot of time. Again, look at the demographics of the kids coming out of school, and I will promise you that when you see how many millions of kids are going to be pumped in the next 5 years into the election process, and there are some states, if I remember correctly, I think Washington and a couple of other states are actually looking at extending the voting age down to 16. So anyway, if you look at the slide that some of these former conservative states are, that, you know, were really staunch conservative states like Virginia, North Carolina, and even Alaska, this education effect and this progressive globalist monopoly in all of these aspects of our life, from the media, entertainment, and all of these other things. You know, and it's so funny. I was talking to some friends the other day, and I said, you know, during the counterculture revolution, you know, it was hate the government, you know, the government is bad, you know, anti-establishment. And now these same rock and rollers like Spring Sprung and whatever, they're all basically saying, trust, go to the light, you know, give government everything they want. You know, we need to take care of you. Trust government. What? Are you kidding me? Apparently, there's enough people that are their fans that have, you know, either Alzheimer's, dementia, they just can't connect the dots and go, hold it now. Before, it used to be government is bad, and now big government is good? I don't know. But I will tell you this, that this education effect is having a huge effect. And as a matter of fact, if you look at just in the gay marriage issue, every single state in the union had voted against it except for two lately. And those two just was recently, Washington and Hawaii, and not that recent, but I mean recent enough, where the push was done by kids that were brought in. And I know for a fact, Washington had hundreds of kids that were brought in, and they didn't have a job, but they were placed around college campuses, high school campuses, and so forth. And these kids were responsible in motivating kids to vote or get out and early register or what have you, so they could vote in that election. And it was that close, but it was by a democratic process that Washington changed its constitutional version of marriage. I've got a hard break, but I will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much.
This is GR Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile, I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth. And many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive of businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, these conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And as I was just saying before going into the break, the Washington state was pushed over, for those that don't understand what happened, they were pushed over this edge by these ideological college students. If you want to call them communist interns, I don't care. You come up with your own name, but these kids were moved out here, or they came out here by a diabolical plan to be able to put themselves around the campus centers in Washington State throughout the area and high schools and so forth. And what they did was they just spent all their time getting kids to become activists to vote for that. And if you go and look at the election turnout, it was incredibly high, because it was a youth vote to push that over, and it was done by a democracy. One would think that we would not allow a democracy to mob rule a state and to oppress the lack of, or you want to call them the urban area, the rural areas, or the lack of population. Population centers should not be dictating the quality of life and what everybody should be doing in the state. We are supposed to be Republican in form, and based on the original framework of the states, the way they laid out counties, the counties have a seat of government in the state, just like states have the seat of government within the Republic of the United States. The states are the sub-element, and I've gone over this many times, the counties are the sub-element. So it's one thing if you do a majority of counties, but not a majority of votes. That's strictly a democracy. If you look at a representative government, you can go by a majority of the representatives, or I should say the government of seats within that republic in a Republican form, but not in a democracy. And I don't want to confuse these two issues here. The point is that what Soros did was he brought kids, or I should say these progressive organizations brought kids that wanted to do their dues, internship, and becoming, you know, communist revolutionaries or what have you. They came and they got themselves onto the dole of government, receiving full entitlements and everything that they could, because social workers want to help them because these guys are the ones that are going to be our future leaders. And so they were basically paid for by us, the taxpayers. So Soros didn't even have to pay hardly anything other than, you know, the protest times and those types of things where, you know, they spend $25 an hour for your time out there on the protest. But these guys were paid by you and I, the taxpayers. And it's pathetic that they're exploiting our system to undermine us using our own tax dollars. You've got to get this picture. And going back to marketing, what is it going to take? What will it take to finally say, you know what, we cannot do this. I've got to get involved in this. And I'm telling you that we still have time. And I hope that you really consider pumping some money into one of these six states. If you don't live in Wyoming, Utah, Idaho, the Dakotas, or Kansas, I'm asking you to pump money into these focus PACs or into these individual campaigns to help get these people that are going to support Republic Review in office in those legislative bodies. I as a one-man army or a one-person army, to be politically correct, as a one-man army, I want you to understand that I only have so much time of the day to reach out. And believe me, you can ask my wife. I work till practically midnight every night, reaching out, trying to connect to people, trying to engage them, because most people don't want to take a minute or even 30 minutes to watch a presentation. They don't want to understand, well, do you really? I mean, you're just saying that just to get my attention. You have some solution. I challenge anybody and I challenge everybody to prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Watch that presentation and by all means, come back and tell me how that's unconstitutional. Go and listen to Dr. Vile's interview. I don't think you'll hear him once say, oh, well, that's absolutely constitutional. You can't do that. The states have no power, no ability. He does make a comment that no state, no court in the world would recognize that probably. But there is no court in the world that has any cognizance over our republic. Even the Supreme Court doesn't. Their limitation is to what's confined within the Constitution, not all those things that are outside of it. They were supposed to be the bulwark and the guardians of the Constitution, but instead they became the political agenda appointees in dictating what they want us to do and what they don't want us to do. And a lot of that back in the 1800s was racism and separatists and all of that. Anyway, back to, you know, the change in how much time we have. I don't think we have a lot of time. I'm really banking on 3 to 5 years at best. We have this election and then we have the 2020 election. And then after that, if we don't have any showing in the midterm of 2022, or we don't have any momentum going into that, then I don't think we have the time beyond that, because I think there'll be enough students that'll be graduating from high school and enough people dying off. And, oh, by the way, there's these things called the Georgia Guidestones. If you've never heard of them, go look these things up. There is a plan to depopulate. And if you haven't heard, population control is getting steeped. It's getting baked into our education. There's way too many people. We got to get rid of them. And I will ask you to go and look at Germany and what Germany decided to do when they were trying to bounce back out of their financial woes. The first people they executed were the unproductive people. And that was the old, the infirm, and those who were unable to be productive. They were called the non-producers. And so I believe that history repeats itself. That wasn't the first time in society where they have done a purging of the drain on society. But I will say this, that the rancor and disdain is getting up there regarding our political war. And you hear the visceral comments between conservatives and a lot of progressives calling for, you know, killing patriots and so forth, Trump. And it's up there. The temperament is getting higher and higher. And I think that we have to start thinking about what is best for individual liberty. And that's why I keep on trying to get people to focus on the Constitution. Quit thinking about the party. Quit thinking about, these little issues. I didn't even get a chance to get into, so I'm going to have to do this tomorrow. There's this movement of disdain by a group of people regarding the U.S. corporation. And if you've not heard of that, I'm going to talk about that tomorrow, because as a matter of fact, there's this gentleman that piped in on my presentation, and he's so myopic on, it's the corporation that's destroying us, that ever since the United States became a corporation. I'm not in a position to say that they didn't create a corporation. I'm in a position that says that that's just another one of the unconstitutional things that the federal government has done, just like the Department of Interior, just like all of these executive departments and all of these roles, responsibilities, and powers that they've been creating to their own whims and desires. That's all unconstitutional. And chasing after one particular issue, whether it be the U.S. corporation or whether it be abortion, immigration, or anything else, is a waste of time, because you will not kill the beast. What we have to do is we have to audit the Constitution, as I've given you all the information last week. Go through that. Go through those podcasts. And by the way, you can download those podcasts from ReclaimingTheRepublic.org on the Red State Talk Radio page. And by all means, listen to what these arguments are. I told you I'd have those posted, and I have failed. I'm a one-man army, and I can't do it all. I have to fire my tech guy. But if I do, then I'd have to hire him back, as I need me. Anyway, so I don't want to go down the tangent of the corporations at this point, but I will say this, that if you look at the population control and the entire demographics of the United States, we're only one really good flu season away from losing enough people to where the elections would be, you know, heavily sided one way. And depending on the effect of that flu, and they're getting better and better at directing those types of things as far as inoculations and so forth. And if you think about that, I want you to think about that, because this population control and the Georgia Guidestones, and if you listen to Paul Preston and the Agenda 21, or especially if you read Tom DeWeese's books, Sustainability, if you start understanding how insidious these planners are for this global governance, they're not leaving any stones unturned. And believe you me, they want your liberties, they want your property, and they want to shackle you as chattel. There's an old term that a lot of people haven't heard of. But I am telling you that we have to either step up or we will rue the day that we failed, our children, and that we failed our posterity, because liberty was given to us, and it is only one generation away from being lost. And that's constantly the threat, and we have to step up at this point. And so I am G.R. Mobley. I'm working to reclaim the Republic, and with your help, we can do this. I ask you to get engaged in my content and get engaged in this message, and I know for a fact that you will agree. So thank you so much, and I'll be back tomorrow. Have a good day.